The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Greatness is never unintentional. It does not arrive by chance or seek out one special person to exist within. Greatness is a decision to get up in the darkest hours, to put foot before foot
again and again.
In solitude and servitude to a goal that lies deep within.
Greatness is earned.
Through practice,
through pain,
through repetition. It does not arrive in an instant, but creeps upon us slowly, like a rising sun.
In which every minute matters. Because it is not one moment, but one achievement.
Rather, it is an accumulation.
Not of how much you have,
but of how much you have given. Greatness is never unintentional.
To have great intentions, for this is our time.
And know that you need not look for it, for you are close to greatness.
And the only obstacle you must truly overcome is yourself.
I'm going to say it. This is our time. Super League's back. It is the Final Hooter. My name's Adrian Jackson. We're live on Radio General. It is the Final Hooter podcast for loverugbyleague.com. Normally joined by David Parkinson, but he's on another Rugby League mission in Manchester this evening. So I'm joined by the big boss of loverugbyleague.com. It's James Gordon. Hello, James.
Hi, Adrian.
This is our time, it is, isn't it?
Well, I hope so. I hope so.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's quite good, isn't it? It's better than this year's one. Is that what you, are you leading me on to say that this year's one's rubbish? Is that what you're leading me to say?
I would not do that to you, honestly.
It is good. I like it. Dennis Betts has got a good voice for a dramatic voiceover, hasn't he?
He's got a good voice over the voice. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's from 2016. How about 2018? It kicks off with Warrington versus Leeds Rhinos. And we've got a whole host of guests and interviews from the World of Rugby League over the next 45 minutes. So we've got a lot to pack in this show. I mentioned the fact it does kick off with Leeds and Warrington. And that's how I go through the rest of the fixtures for round one of the Super League. It's Hull FC versus Huddersfield, Salford versus Wigan, St Helens take on Castleford, Hawkinson Rovers versus Wakefield, and just one game on Sunday. It's Widnes versus Catalans Dragons. Just one game on Sunday. It looks like as the season's progressed, James, Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock in Super League is being phased off and erased from the fixture list.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's getting to the point now. Is I think I'd just been off Sundays altogether. Not because I think that's the best day. I mean, I prefer watching games on a Sunday, but I think because obviously you've got the Thursday and Friday night matches, just I'd rather clubs just pick the day and stuck with it. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, Widnes have got a lot of games on Friday nights this season, so I'm just like, instead of having the odd one on Sunday, just put them all at the same time. Although having said that, I did enjoy a few of the Saturday games last year. I quite enjoyed doing Saturday afternoon games, so I know it's a bit harder to do that when the football season's on, but hopefully there's a few more sunny Saturday afternoons in Lee, I think I remember last season.
That's going to be the only time, by the way, that the round ball does get a mention on this show. It's all about rugby league. And yeah, you mentioned Saturday afternoon. I actually enjoyed them as well.
Yeah, I think, and obviously it fits in well, because if you play Saturday afternoon, you don't, you know, if you're playing the following Thursday or Friday, it's not a, whereas, you know, the main reason teams don't play on Sundays now is because they're, you know, because the turnaround time for the game on the Thursday or Friday night.
Don't mention short turnarounds. I'm sick of hearing coaches going on about it, but we're going to hear plenty of coaches throughout the season saying, oh, well, you know, the short turnaround.
Yeah.
Seems to be the ultimate.
No, that's it. It's turned into a bit of a cliche, isn't it now?
It is. Anyway, last week, me and you, along with a whole load of Rugby League journalists, made the journey to Huddersfield for the, not just the Super League launch, but the Championship launch. Now, don't worry, Championship fans, we haven't forgotten about you. This is going to be all about the Super League on this podcast, but at some point in the future, me and Dave Parkinson are going to sit down and bring you a championship podcast for the Final Hooter as well. So look forward to that one. But it's all about the Super League. And it was a very packed room in Huddersfield, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I quite enjoyed it, Adrian. I thought it was fairly well organised in comparison to what these events are usually like. I mean, I've been my fair share of media launches and stuff over the years, but I thought it was pretty good. There was a lot of media there. Obviously, the RFL guys did a good job organising it, and Betfred were good, you know, sponsors and stuff. And, you know, for people like ourselves, it's good to be able to speak to a wide variety of people, even if it is a bit of a scrum sometimes trying to get into the right people. But I think we did well between us.
We did. Like I said, we've got a whole host of interviews coming our way. Let's start off with the champions. It's only right, isn't it? Leeds Rhinos won it last year, and our man Steve Manning got in the scrum straight away to have a chat with Brian McDermott.
Well, Brian, are you ready for the travails and everything that goes into 2018 after 2017 as Leeds Rhinos coach and the world USA World Cup coach?
Yeah, there's been a fair bit going on, hasn't there? And there's been a fair backstory to what we've been doing over the last 2 years, but can't wait. We finished off 2017 in good fashion, in good shape. The players were really really upbeat at the end of the year. They probably could have played another 5-6 games, and every one of them said to a man, players and staff, can't wait for the season 2018 to get going. And now we're out, we're at the back end of pre-season, and we're ready to go.
And you're going as a champion. It's a nice little ring to it, doesn't it, pardon the pun?
Yeah, it does. And you know, we're not the finished article at all. I don't think throughout 2017 we were that far off at all. We was always just touching being very, very, very good. But I don't think too often we could say we were very good. And that's the challenge for us, is we have some improvement in us, and genuine improvement as well, not just cliche speak. I think 2017 was a good 7 out of 10 season for us, which, you know, culminated in us nailing playoffs and winning the grand final. So I think we all know that, you know, we want to be more 8 out of 10 and 9 out of 10 than what we were.
And you've changed the captaincy. Obviously, Danny's gone, and it's now in the great hands of another class player, Callum Watkins.
Yes, and it's an obvious choice in that Callum's been a great... He showed a great strength of character, Callum, over these last 2 seasons. And, you know, when he speaks, people listen. Fantastic player on the field, goes without saying. But actually quite a popular figure within the group. And doesn't say too much, but when he does speak, people listen. So he's got some great traits there, which it makes him an obvious choice. That's not to say that we don't have other leaders in the group. And somebody like a Stevie Ward would also make a very good captain and has earned the respect of everybody within the club. So, you know, we're very fortunate to have as many candidates, but Callum's a great choice.
And the season starts next weekend at Warrington. They'll be hoping to do what you did last year. Will there be any pressure going into that, or is it one to relish?
No, there's no pressure from us. We're looking forward to that challenge. We don't normally go too well at Warrington, and it'd be nice to start turning that form around, how we play over there. But, you know, I'm sure they'll want to hit the ground running, bearing in mind they were in the middle eights. I remember ourselves trying to get out from under that cloud, and just because it's a new season, you still got the middle eights hanging over, and you don't want to be losing games early in the year, because you start tallying up points already, don't you? And who's going to be in the top eight and who's going to be in the bottom four, type of thing. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have a level of intensity about them to start the season.
Bit early to be talking about top four and top eight, surely. We've not even kicked the ball yet.
You got to predict the agent, haven't you? I mean,
unusual for a coach to be doing it.
Well, I just think that's par for the course. It's interesting. I was having just before we came on air, I was having a bit of debate with a few people on Twitter about
okay.
it. I think 1 to 7. I think you can pick the teams 1 to 7, and I think you can pick the teams 8 to 12. Like, I'm not saying you can pick what order, but I think there's a little bit of a divide there. So yeah,
interesting to see what happens as the season progresses. But as an opening game, Leeds versus Warrington, it's up there with one of the biggest games of the season.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think I mean Warrington, new coach, you know, quite a few new players, especially, you know, key players in key positions like Tyrone Roberts. It's a really tough start, really, I think, for Warrington. It can go one of two ways, really. If they get off to a good start and beat Leeds, it's almost like last season will be forgotten about already, almost. But for me, I just think Leeds will be too strong on Thursday night for Warrington, but we'll see.
Leeds are the champions. Brian McDermott, interestingly, only rated their season as a 7 out of 10. I was just thinking that's pretty low considering you won the championship at the end of it. Can they win the Super League title this year?
Well, I think they can. You know, if any team can do it, it is Leeds. They've got the pedigree, and you know, we've had a few articles. I think there was an article on the Rugby League last week actually where one of our journalists wrote saying that actually everyone seems to write them off. Well, not write them off, but they never. You know, when people are saying who do you think is going to win Super League this season?
Yeah.
People say Leeds are always, you know, no one ever comes out and says Leeds, do they? I mean, people say Wigan, they say Warrington, this year they're saying Saints. And although people will probably tip Leeds to finish top two or three, they're never the first name on everyone's lips. And actually, over the years, that's gone down to suit them. Like last season, for instance, Casford was everyone's tip, wasn't it? And then Leeds have just snuck along and won it. So, you know, Leeds have got as good a chance as anyone else at this stage. And, you know, they're the champions, so it's ultimately theirs to lose at this point.
I just want to get to Headland to see how the building work's going on.
I mean, I've not heard much about that. Their first two games at Elland Road, aren't they? I think
yes.
So. Might be a while till you get to see it, Adrian.
Oh, well. Look forward to it anyway. You mentioned Castleford, they had a great season last year. All right, fell at the final hurdle at Old Trafford in the grand final. And I caught up with Michael Shenton as he looked ahead to this season.
Michael Shenton, a long, hard season ahead. Are you fully refreshed and ready to go for the challenges ahead?
Yeah, well, over pre-season now, and you get that feeling, and you see your teammates that you're overtraining now, certain things, you just want to get playing again. You want to get that feeling, the build-up, start doing the videos, preparing. Obviously, our first game, St. Helens, getting building up for that, it's a great feeling, and you know the fans around the place start getting excited, so it's always a great time of the year, and the season's coming around again.
Great season for you last year. A lot of pressure now to build on that and repeat it.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, it was a fantastic season, and we definitely want to replicate that. And we know it's a tough challenge. I think there's been quite a lot of changes within the league. Different teams, new coaches, new players coming in. So Super League probably going to look a bit different this year. So it's hard to say where the challenges are going to come from. Who's going to be playing well? Obviously, obvious ones. Like our first game, the team we're playing, St. Helens, they look like they're going to be great this year. So, now, a lot of challenges there. But for us, I think what we did last year was we focused on ourselves quite a lot and our attitude going into games. And that's what we're going to do again. Is that we know if we're playing well, everyone's doing their job in our team, we're very difficult to beat. And we can be quite devastating with the ball. So, we're trying making some improvements over the off-season. In our attack and defence in certain areas, a few little personnel changes. So and the World Cup makes things difficult as well sometimes with players that have been in the World Cup don't come in while late. So, but what that does is opens opportunities for younger boys or squad players to come in, fill positions when you are training in like November, December, early January before your main players come back in. And we found that, and we've got a young player called young Jake Truman, a young halfback's really stepped up. He had a few games last year, but he's really stepped up and found his place within our team. So I'm really interested to see how some of our young guys and new players go.
Certainly amongst the fans last year, Castleford were everyone's second favourite team, so obviously they'll want to see you do just as well this year.
Yeah, I think we've always kind of been a bit like that. People have said that, but of course we want as consistent or as good as we are now, so I'll be pretty surprised if we're that team anymore. I mean, hopefully we're there challenging everyone once again, and it's the next, well, I don't know, it's an exciting time for us, and we want to know that other teams enjoy the brand of rugby we play, and that's important to us.
It is a great brand, the Rugby League, but can they continue where they left off last year?
I think it's going to be. It's obviously going to be more difficult this year. Obviously, I've seen a few comments saying they don't want to be one season wonders, but I think Castle have been playing well for a good few years now. So I think it's slightly unfair to call them one season wonders. The thing is now is everyone's aware of them. Do you know what I mean? They're going to be a team that everyone's going to be wary of. You know, but that doesn't necessarily mean that teams are going to be able to deal with it. It'll be interesting to see how they cope without Zach Hardacre, because obviously he was a very much a key component. He was the the catalyst, if you like. He was the one that tipped them over the edge a little bit, where, you know, they'd been playing well and they'd done well for previous seasons, but it was his sort of star quality that raised the bar for them.
Gave
you know,
him the X factor,
yeah, you know, England yeah. internationally, he'd won it, you know, he'd been there and done it, he knows it. And obviously, they've lost him now, so it'd be interesting to see. I know Darryl Powell said that they're shifting Ben Roberts to fullback, so it'd be interesting to see how he, you know, he's not a bad player, and it'd be interesting to see how he goes. So I think it'd be interesting to see how Cass start the season. You know, they've got a really tough game. I'll be there on Friday night when they play St Helens, and yeah, it's a really tough start for them. In fact, to be fair, them two games we've mentioned, Warrington Leeds and Saints Cass, are going to be, you know, really fascinating games to start the season,
giving everyone an early taste of what's to come over the next 10 months or so. But funny you should mention St Helens, that's where we're going to head right now. For me, they should have made the grand final if we went for that madness at the end of the old jungle last season.
Yeah, well, you know, Mark Purcell missed a couple of goals, didn't he, which would have took them to the edge, and then obviously Luke Gale's drop goal in extra time, and the golden point. They were a bit unlucky, to be fair. It was a really, I think in some ways the way they ended the season is probably why a lot of people are tipping them to do well this year, because in that Super 8s phase they were pretty good. You know, they beat Castleway and in the Super 8s, and they did pretty well. They obviously fought their way into the top four, because I mean, don't forget, Saints were struggling at times last season. You know, they were down with Warrington at one point, and they did really well, to be fair, to actually get into that four, and they were unlucky, like you say, not to make the grand final. And I think people are looking at Justin Albrooks being there now for the full pre-season. They obviously brought Ben Barber in last year, so he'll have a full pre-season behind him. They've only signed one new player, which is James Bentley from Bradford, so you know, it'd be interesting to see how they go. I think they're many people's favourites actually going into the season.
Let's hear from one of their star players, that's Big Al, Alex Walmsley. What a season he had.
Alex Walmsley, long, hard season last season. How's the legs feeling at this moment?
Oh, the legs are fine. Yeah, no, we're fine. It was obviously a long year, and we've not had too much of a rest. Only feels like 2 minutes ago we was in Australia playing. But, no, it's good to be back amongst the boys in Saints, and yeah, I feel good.
Just touching base on last season, you disappointed you didn't get the job done at Casper to get to the grand final?
Oh yeah, obviously, yeah. I don't think anyone would not be, you know, losing a semi-final, there's not much to enjoy about. We were close last year, and we were 10 seconds away from the grand final. But I think, you know, we've lost 3 semi-finals in a row now, but I thought last year was the one semi-final we'd done enough to win. We'd really had done enough to win that game, and we'd done more than enough, and unfortunately it didn't work out. Rugby gods didn't allow it, so to speak. But yeah, you know, it was really gutting, that one really was. I think in 2015 and 2016, obviously we lost in those semis, and you know, we was gutted to lose them. But I think if we was honest with each other, we weren't good enough in them 2 years. We weren't good enough in them 2 games to win it. I thought last year we were good enough, and we'd put ourselves in a good, strong position. So, yeah, no, that was a tough one to take last year.
So yeah, that'll go really to be played between now and next season's grand final. But a lot of people are already tipping Saints could win it.
Yeah, and we wouldn't be at Saints if we weren't going to be talked about. And we know the expectation of the club. We wouldn't be here if we didn't want to win things. But if we're going to be honest, it's been a long time since we've had some consistent, you know, success. But in 2014, it's been 10 years since we've really won something. And yeah, you know, obviously we're certainly looking at this year as well to find that. But we're happy for people to talk about us and big us up. But you know, we'll quietly go about our business, and you know, we'll approach the season as we do every single year, and that's aiming to get to finals and win competitions.
We've had a full pre-season with Justin, how the guys found it?
Yeah, no, it's been really refreshing. I think Justin's brought in a different ethos to the training schedule, and he's certainly brought in a different method of how we're going to train. I think obviously, you know, you associate pre-season with long days and early starts and hill sprints and carrying logs and doing army camps, and we've not really had that much this year. We've done it tough, we've done the hard work, we've done the hard yak, but we've approached it a bit differently, and we've certainly been doing more traditional rugby training rather than out and out army camp floggings and whatever comes with it. So everyone's really enjoyed it, and I think that's been what's been great about it. When we came back, you know, I've never seen such an happier camp during mid-pre-season as I did at Saints, and everyone looks to be good at the back of that. I think if you're coming in at 8, 9 o'clock, looking forward to the day of training, looking forward to a day of hard yak. If you're going to look forward to doing it, you're going to buy into it more, you're going to take more out of it. And that's how we, you know, at South Eastern's been so far this year, and hopefully we'll see the dividends of that.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It is indeed the Final Hooter. Adrian Jackson, normally joined by David Parkinson on the Final Hooter for Radio General and LoveRugbyLeague.com. But David is on another Rugby League mission in Manchester with Mancunians Rugby League. Be interesting to see what all that's about. But I'm joined by James Gordon. We heard from Alex Warnes. I'm shocked. Shocked, by the way. He mentioned players coming in at 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning. I thought they were still in bed, so at least dinner time.
Well, I thought you were going to say they should be up earlier, Agent, to be honest.
8 and 9 o'clock in the morning.
They've got to get into them at pre-season, haven't they?
Yeah, true. They get the Lions then when the game's
Is Yak a Yorkshire thing as well? I heard him say that a few times. Is that a Yorkshire thing?
He's a Batley man, so yeah, maybe.
A bit of a weird one anyway.
Interesting to see Alex Walmsley already being tipped that he could be on the way to Australia at the end of this season.
There's a lot of talk about quite a few players, actually. A couple of the Hull players are being linked there. And I think the thing is now is the amount of money in the NRL and the salary cap, and they've got a minimum wage over there, which is a lot higher than probably a lot of Super League players already earn. So, as well as obviously the lifestyle benefits, I know you love it around here, Adrian.
I mean, yes. On the banks of the Mersey.
But obviously a lot of people, you know, a lot of these young lads, you know, 20, you know, in the 20s playing rugby, they can go to Australia, earn a decent money, you know, live a nice lifestyle for a few years, and you know, you can't blame them for maybe wanting to go. And it's a massive challenge for Super League to keep hold of you, Alex Walmsleys and your players like that. You know, and that's one of the challenges that the league faces commercially. We've already seen quite a few English players, you know, certainly when you compare to 15 years ago, there was like Adrian Morley was flying the flag on his own, wasn't he? Whereas now, you know, you've got James Graham, you've got Elliot Whitehead, you've got Sam Burgess, you know, you've got a long list of players who are playing week in, week out in the NRL, and it's good, I guess, for England. But you know, it'd be nice if Super League can grow a bit more to make sure we can retain some of the better players.
If Alex Walmsley does decide to go, he has committed himself to at least a season with St. Helens. But if he does go to Australia, they'll have him badly run at them hills. He's done well, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, there's a lot of discussion to be had about the game, and you know, with the visit, we were talking about reserve set up before, as everyone is. And you know, you look at Chris Hill as well. He's another example of a player that was sort of plucked from the Championship and has gone on to have a stellar career in Super League and played for England at the World Cup. And, you know, Saints have sort of done that again, haven't they, this season? Their one signing is James Bentley from Bradford, so they'll be hoping he can follow a similar path. And it's important, I think, that Super League teams are willing to give these players a chance. And to be fair, in some ways, the fact that the NRL salary cap's increased and they're a lot more competitive money wise has actually helped a little bit, because it at least means that some of the clubs have got to take a punt on some of these players, because that's the next place to look.
Well, that's where they all start their career, whether it be as a coach or a player. Dave Parkinson caught up with Lee Radford, who's the coach of Hull.
Well, Lee, it's that exciting time of the season, which I bet you can't wait to get it going after all the pre-season work that you put in.
As a coach, you love pre-season. As a player, you hate it. As a coach, you love it. You know, you get an ample amount of time on the field with your boys, and you see significant improvements in them. And so no, you know, for me, pre-season could go on for the next couple of months and I still think I'd be happy.
But you know, all looking in good shape, aren't they?
Yeah, no, we it's been a unique pre-season due to the fact that the World Cup, and also due to the fact the amount of games we've played over the last couple of seasons. So we've played more games than anybody in the country. 70 games we've played over the last two seasons, which is an incredible amount of rugby. And for your likes of Jamie Shaw and Danny Alton, that feature every week, you know, we've had to give them the ample amount of rest they've needed to recuperate in the off-season. So, you know, it's been a real staggered start with blokes coming back from the door. But it's been a bit of a blessing in disguise, because we've been having to give plenty of our young blokes more reps, look at them in more detail and put a little bit more into them. And I think one thing that showed up in our last two pre-season friendlies, our young blokes look a lot better for it. So it sort of thickened our squad out a little bit, you know, and I didn't expect that in October when I'm pulling my hair out thinking, well, we're going to have half the squad here.
Okay, and I suppose as well that's an exciting thing working with those younger guys, isn't it? And seeing that progression.
Yeah, and you know, and it's pleasing as a coach when you see the development and strides they're making. It's, you know, that's one of the most rewarding parts as a coach.
That's Lee Radford talking about Hull's chances. And Hull, with the money they've got to spend, always seem to be the team that are tipped to do something special.
I mean, I fancy Hull this year. I mean, again, like I say, I was having a bit of a conversation on Twitter with a few people before we came on, and I've gone for Hull to finish second behind Saints. I think Hull have got a real good chance, and I think this is their year. I feel like, you know, they've won the Challenge Cup the past two seasons, and you know, the likes of Albert Kelly and Carlos Tuimavaavi are going to be moving on probably at the end of the year. They're both linked with the NRL, and you know, players like Mark Snead and Jamie Shaw and Danny Horton and players like that, they're all sort of at their peak now. And well, I say that with Shaw. I mean, Shaw can obviously go on for a lot longer, but what I mean is Hull have almost been, they've had a pretty settled side over a couple of years, and it almost feels like this is the year. If they're going to win Super League, this is the year that they're going to do it. And I fancy them. You know, I think on their day they can beat anyone. The big thing with Hull is they've always got that sort of performance in them where they just combust. And they did it a couple of times last season. I remember, I think I spoke to Scott Taylor actually about it at the launch, and you know, they got pumped by Salford at home, and that was just like they've just got to iron that sort of result out of their system. They sort of made a pig's ear of it a little bit last year. I thought they had a good chance of getting the grand final last year, but they sort of fell away towards the end and didn't get that home draw that they needed and ended up losing to Leeds, which, you know, was no shame in it. But I fancy all this year, Defo.
Be interesting to see how they go. Good to see the Humberside Derby, or the East Yorkshire Derby, is back on the agenda for Super League this year. Hull Kingston Rovers relegated to the Championship, came back with flying colours in the qualifying eights, and one of their star players ended up being a grand final winner for Leeds Rhinos. I caught up with Danny Maguire, now a Hull Kingston Rovers player. Still doesn't sit right, does it?
Danny Maguire, before you look ahead to this season, just touch back on last season. You've probably been told about it or asked about it already, but what a dream way to end your time with Leeds.
Yeah, couldn't have gone any better, to be honest with you. It was sort of script writer's dream, I think. Yeah, it was brilliant. You know, obviously knowing that I was leaving and knowing it was going to be my last game, you couldn't wish for it a better outcome, to be honest with you. And it was great effort by everybody involved, all the lads, and you know, really special memories. And you know, I'll never forget that. But at the minute now, I've got a Rovers shirt on now, and you know, that's my focus is going forward and making sure I do my best for my teammates and for the club.
Leads me to the next question. Your new venture is with Hockey Art. How have you found it fitting in?
Yeah, really good, really easy, to be honest. It's a bit nerve wracking to start with, like starting a new school, I suppose, but it was easy to fit in. You know, really good set of lads, great support staff, great club, and you know, obviously a great coach with Tim. So you know, I found it really easy to fit in. We had a good week's training, good week's preparation in Spain last week, and I think everybody's ready to get going now.
I suppose Rovers will be raring to go after what happened from last season.
Yeah, I said it earlier that I think Super League were a weaker competition without Rovers in there. It's a great club, really good fan base, and obviously the Hull derbies are back, which everybody enjoys. So everyone's the club's looking forward to it, and you know, I think it's going to be tough. Everybody knows that coming up from the Championship, but we as a squad believe that we can surprise a few people this year. So we'll just see how it goes.
Other than the element of surprise, what would Rovers have to do to avoid that bottom four?
I think we just need to play consistently well and commit every week. I think that's we got a good squad, and it sort of surprised me the quality of players there, to be honest with you. And the sessions have been really good. Everybody's striving to improve and get better as a player and for the team as well. So we'll just need to make sure that we're consistent and win the tight games as well, win the games where the pressure's on and you've got to come out the other side. So that's the challenge for the team, I suppose.
No worries, not mentioned the home ground. I think that could be the key to Hull Kingston Rovers' success.
I mean, if you look at, say, Widnes, for instance, you know, I think a lot of people are tipping Hull KR Widnes to be bottom two. I think you could probably chuck Salford in there. I still think Huddersfield and Catalan look pretty weak to me. But I think, yeah, like you say, one thing that Hull KR have got maybe in comparison to Salford and Widnes is that they're very strong. It's a bit more of a fortress, isn't it? No one really likes going up to Hull to play them, and that could be the difference between Hull KR finishing, you know, bottom or finishing 8-4, 9-4, 10-4, something like that. So, I mean, Maguire's obviously a headline signing. I'm just a bit worried that they've not really done much else other than him. You know, obviously, to get him in is a big coup, but I think, you know, apart from him, they've not really... You know, they've not really done a great deal of recruiting, and obviously they're still looking.
Showing a lot of faith with last season.
Yeah, they're still looking for two players. Obviously, had that Rob Louis bid rejected from Salford last week, and it's like they're still looking for players, and it's like the season starts this week, and it's like I just worry a little bit that, you know, they've even the coach is obviously unhappy. He obviously feels they're a couple short, but I think a lot of teams are struggling. You know, I think a lot of teams are struggling to find the players. You know, the player pool's diminishing that much, and you know you've got Lee and Toronto offering silly money in Championship and sort of shoring up players there that would typically be available. You've got, as we said before, the NRL. There's not as many Australians coming over because obviously they can get more money over there, which then means that the likes of Wigan are looking at players who maybe Hull KR would have signed. You know, Sargentson's a good example. You know, if say, you know, to use a dead old example of a Jamie Lyon or a player of that, you know, of that ilk, if he was, you know, that sort of player wouldn't come to Super League these days. And it's like, whereas a Wigan or a St Helens would have signed him, Wigan and St Helens are now signing players like Dan Sargentson. I mean, with all due respect to Dan Sargentson, other people rate him. You know, he's the sort of player that maybe would have ended up at a Hull KR. And Hull KR went in for him and, you know, he ended up going to Wigan. So, interesting one. I think you can pick the bottom five, and I think Hull KR will be part of that.
It's the Super League launch that we were at, and plenty of interviews still to come. We're at the home of Huddersfield, so it's only polite that we let the host have a chat on this Fan of the Future podcast, as James caught up with Huddersfield coach Rick Stone.
You learn from last season, Rick, just going into this one, obviously with the slow start, and then, you know, we're pretty good second half.
Well, we did. You know, injuries held us back a little bit at the start of last year. I think keeping your squad fit and healthy is the main thing. I mean, you need a bit of luck with that. You need a little bit of management with that as well. That's something we haven't struggled with, but it's been a little bit more difficult with the advent of the World Cup and players coming in slowly at different times. So, if we can keep ourselves fit and healthy and we can play as consistently as we did in the middle stage of the season there, we'll be competitive.
You've obviously kept a pretty tight ship really over the off-season. You know, there's not been a massive amount of player movement, if you like. Is that because you were happy with the squad you had?
Oh yeah, it was, you know, and sometimes the stars have got a line for a bit of movement in the place, you know, whether some players of ours are off and some players that you're looking to pick up are off. So at this point in time, it was a little bit of a season where we didn't have too much movement in our salary cap, so we sort of bedded down and made a couple of small changes to our squad, and there might be the possibility to make a few more changes at the end of this year.
Obviously players like Leroy and Jermaine and players like that have obviously been so important to this field. Have you got your eye on other young players coming through? Is there anyone that's standing out for you at the moment?
Oh, we've got a couple of good young players, mate. Young Darnell McIntosh had a fairly decent season last year, showed us plenty. He's going to improve for that run. A young forward, Matthew English, who captained England sort of academy maybe a year or 18 months ago. He's a good young forward. And, you know, we had some breakout sort of players like Bruce Lehman and Ollie Roberts, who are ready to step up and be regular first team players after gradually, getting drip feed games over the last couple of years.
I mean, Ollie got big raps at the World Cup, didn't he? Was that a surprise to you? It sort of came out of nowhere, really.
Oh, no, it didn't surprise us, the new Ollie. We knew that he's got some real ability, you know, and as a ball carrier, he's a big, powerful lad that's got plenty of mobility, he's hard to stop. He's still got a few things to work on his game, but, you know, after the World Cup, I think he'll gain some confidence and, you know, he'll be a little bit more ready to take that into his game this season.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
That's Rick Stone, Huddersfield coach, who had a chat to yourself, James. Every time I see Rick Stone, I just think Alan Pardew. I don't know why.
I wondered where you were going with that then for a second, but yeah.
Maybe it's the same style of haircut.
It's I've spoken to Rick Stone quite a bit since he's been over here. I was, to be honest, one of the games that I remember most from last season was at Huddersfield. They got beat by Catalan. It was around Easter time, and he wasn't happy, man. I wouldn't say he stormed out his press conference after the game, but he certainly just took his mic off, got up and left without much of a, quite abruptly, I would say. And at that point, I thought the writing was on the wall for him, and they really turned it around after that, surprisingly, Huddersfield. And, they actually did pretty well. You know, they got into the top eight, which was a fair achievement when you consider Warrington didn't. And then when they were in that top eight, even though they were so far behind, I think did they win three of the first four or something like that? And they actually got themselves into contention. Now, okay, they lost the fifth game, which meant that it was sort of not doable. But the fact that they were able to keep their season alive for so long was a credit to them. I'm not sure about Huddersfield. I think, you know, if you look at last season, is the real Huddersfield the one that started the season, or is it the one that was in the middle of the season? Danny Brough's a year older. Is he 35, 36 now? I mean, they've not really done much to their squad. They've added two squad players, Colton Roach and Adam Warne, and, you know, I think Huddersfield are definitely the team. If you weren't in the top eight last season, they're the team that you're thinking you could pick off to get in there.
I think the challenge for Huddersfield, not just on the field but off the field, they're looking at retaining the best players. It's the challenge to try and keep hold of Jermaine McGilvery, because after the World Cup, he is the hot winger of the Rugby League area at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, he's come out this week and said that, you know, he wants to stay loyal to Huddersfield, and, you know, fair play to him for that. You know, I think I seen somewhere he said they gave him a chance when he was a milkman when he was 18 and stuff, and that's fair play to him. For someone of his calibre, he could probably pick his team now. He's established that much reputation, and, you know, it's always nice. I mean, especially in the sort of environment now, I mean, you'd like more players to stay loyal and maybe build something, and Huddersfield have done that over the years, haven't they? I mean, they won the League Leaders' Shield a few years ago. They've just sort of, the last two or three seasons, they've just started to decline a little bit. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see how they go. I think they're one of those teams that it's hard. I think they could go one or two ways. They're either going to go really well or go really poorly.
That's what everyone's saying about Warrington. They've got a brand new coaching team in Andrew Henderson and Steve Price. One or two players are left. One or two players still there. Warrington, it is a start of a new era, basically. Can they achieve what they have done under Tony Smith in recent seasons? Who knows? But Dave Parkinson caught up with Ben Curry to get his thoughts about the season ahead for Warrington.
Well, Ben Curry, I'm certainly hoping that you have much, much better luck after a good World Cup back in pre-season with Warrington. Things are looking good, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I know 12 months ago this time of year, I probably just off my crutches and had a long that road ahead of me to get back playing. I only managed to get up to four games, I think it was. So this time round, I've had some experience in the World Cup. I feel fit, I feel ready to go, and it's good to start round one.
That must have been a fantastic experience, that whole Australia trip with the World Cup.
Yeah, I loved it. 8 weeks over there, I really enjoyed every moment of it. It was a long time, but it went quite fast with the squad we had and the bond we had over there. It was good, and it showed that on the pitch, and we just fell short.
And pre-season has been pretty good at Warrington as well, hasn't it?
Yeah, good. It's been different. It's been good. There's a lot of new players now coming, and new staff, everything. So it's a different environment around training, but a really enjoyable one.
An enjoyable one. There you go. Short and sweet.
Yeah, well, the interesting fact with Ben Curry is he actually played more games for England last year than he did for Warrington. So, you know, obviously it'd be almost like a new signing for Warrington, won't it? Having him, obviously Ben Murdoch, Masilla, you know, two pretty good options for them in the back row. So it'd be interesting to see how they go against Leeds. I still worry a little bit for Warrington. I think they've got to get off to a good start.
I worry for Salford. A lot has happened since Marwan decided to put his keys away and let somebody else take control of the club. And they've still got Ian Watson as the coach, so it'd be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah, I mean, I think Salford are a funny one because I think they did well last season for the first half and then sort of fell away. And my opinion was that they punched above the weight in the first half of the season. And I think you do get that. I think, so, you know, we've seen it with Widnes the season before, where teams can punch above the weight early doors and get the wins on the board, and it almost raises people's expectations of them. Whereas actually, I think Salford's level was probably where they were maybe mid last season, and obviously they've lost Ben Murdoch, they've lost Michael Dobson, and they've brought in a few players. They've not got the academy structure behind them, so if they get a few injuries, they've not got like young players, you know, like we saw with Witness last season, they've not got players they can necessarily draft in. But Ian Watson's a, I think I said in an art, I wrote my Salford season preview, and I think pound for pound, Ian Watson's probably been the best coach in Super League for the past two seasons. So, you know, if he can work his magic on them again, you know, again, they're a team a bit like Huddersfield. I think they could go one way or the other.
Let's hear from Watto himself.
On the eve of another season, big changes at Salford over the close season. Yep. How's all that going?
Really good, mate. We've got Andy Rosler, who's kind of the head of the trust board, if you like, at the moment, who's been giving a lot of dialogue in between, from him to Bleasy to me, vice versa, the other way around as well, and obviously the discussions with me and Andy as well, and then through coming through from when Marwan was kind of running it and organising it to the changeover, it's been done quite smoothly, to be fair, and with minimum impact, if you like, on kind of our playing side and everything else. So hopefully that kind of continues, and then we can just worry about Wigan in 2 weeks' time.
I know that you're often a guy that kind of looks for talent because of the career that you had back in the Championship and playing a lot of those. You look for talent coming through that who's maybe been overlooked, and you've got a couple of those lads in your squad this year, haven't you?
Yeah,
I'm thinking like Daryl and...
Yeah, 100%. Darrell's definitely one. Chris Bynum was another one who we picked out. Like I say, I'd seen Chris because I played against Chris, so I knew what Chris was about. Darrell was another one who was playing in the lower leagues, and it was just going round having a little look at him and seeing kind of whether we thought he could feature, to be fair, Super League, and two games he's played for us, he's looked like he is a Super League player. It's just the choices he makes now on the back end of here will be interesting, because he's got some good competition with the likes of Manu, Jake Bibby, Greg Johnson as well. So Darrell's in there fighting now for that kind of slot as well, so he might need to be a little bit patient at first to get that first shot, but when it comes he needs to take it and then keep it. But I believe there's talent in the lower leagues. I think the way the game's structured at the moment, with not having the reserves and then going down to your academy, is a big step up from the 19s to your first team and playing against blokes consistently. So generally they've got to go somewhere. If they don't fall out of the game, hopefully they'll end up going to a League One or a Championship team. And then it's not to mean the bad players because they fell out of a Super League, but it might be that they develop later. So I have a fun watching the League One and the Championship, and having a little look if we can pick somebody out of there who'll add to our group. And we've got Gav this year, Gav Bennion.
He had a great season at Rochdale last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He really stood up. I thought back end of the season as well, I thought he was physically aggressive, kind of in his defence, really dominant. His carries were strong as well. And I know he's been well educated. He was in the Warrington system. He just kind of fell out of it. So I know he's a smart kid and he understands the game as well. His development will be, again, learning to get back into that Super League habits. Young Levy was at St Helens as an academy kid, come through well educated there at Saints, and then he's gone off to over to Melbourne to have a little crack at there, then to Toulouse, and then he's come back. He's got all the kind of physical attributes, just kind of game education's a key for him, and that's what we've got to kind of work on.
That's exactly what he's done. He's using his experience of playing in the Championship and coaching as well in the lower leagues, and he's picking them players off to hopefully do the job for them in Super League. Good to see a coach do that.
Yeah, I mean, that was a really impressive interview, I thought. I thought the way he spoke about them players, you know, was really encouraging for Salford, because, you know, for their situation now, I know they've had a few years where Marwan was trying to play fantasy rugby a little bit, but actually, if Ian Watson can cast his eye and pick up players like Chris Bryan and players like that from Championship League One and turn them into steady Super League players, you know, that'd be a great win for Salford.
Let's hear from Wigan Shaw, Sean O'Loughlin, England captain, got all the experience going, and every time a season starts, there's always pressure on Wigan, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the most successful team there's ever been in UK rugby league, so they're always, you know, they're always talked about. They've had a, you know, they had a disappointing year. I mean, it sounds daft because they were World Club champions, but they had a disappointing year in Super League. They reached the Challenge Cup final as well, and that's the real mad thing about it, is we talk about Wigan having a disappointing year. They got to the Challenge Cup final and they were World Club champions, so that just goes to show, you know, the bar that Wigan set. They'll be thinking privately that they're up for a good year.
I feel good. I say we've not had as long off as some of the boys, but when we played our last game, just start of December, so yeah, feeling good. The majority of the boys now are fit and healthy, so only one or two injuries, so yeah, everyone's ready and round to go.
It's an exciting time at Wigan because you're leading a load of young lads, aren't you, basically?
Yeah, we've got that production line there where we bring a lot of lads in year on year. Wayne puts quite a bit of faith in those boys to kind of develop them and come through. But yeah, it is sometimes going into seasons, some of the lads are a bit unknown. Some of the lads want maybe half a season, might kick on, might not. But you're always taking a little bit of gamble with some of those. But if they're the kind of players what we maybe see in a few years' time who are regulars and who are kind of core players, so it's important we put our faith in them boys and watch them develop.
I know yourself, you obviously seem to relish that leadership role that you've had at Wigan.
Oh yeah, I've done it for a few years now and I enjoy doing it with the senior lads you have around me as well. Paul Sachs, Tommy Lulawai, Ian Farrell, Joel and Sam Tompkins, they make what I do easy as well. I think having that group of senior lads who push standards and that kind of thing, but it's not just an individual that does that. It's a group of lads, and then that filters down through the team.
You mentioned the players that make them a dangerous team, and it always amazes me with Sean Auckland. No matter what the injuries are, he just patches himself up and gets back out there and gives it his all.
Yeah, and he's got. You know, I don't know the exact stats, but there's a phenomenal. He's got a phenomenal record of when he doesn't play, they tend to lose a lot more, and when he does play, they tend to win a lot more.
That's a good stat to have.
I need to do a bit of research on it, but it's a very loose stat, Adrian. But
it'll do for us.
I'm sure Dave will be able to tell me one way or the other.
All change at the Castellans last season. Steve McManara came in to be the head coach. He saved the Super League season by defeating Lee in the £1 million game. Now, of course, it was Remy Caste as he reflected on last season and looks ahead to this season. Remy Caste, a brand new season ahead. Are you looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, we are looking forward because last year was a bit of a nightmare for Catalan to be involved in a £1 million game. It's not a good season and very stressful last year, and now we change our staff, we got a new player, and look like a bit exciting to start again a new season, and to be our objective now is to be in the top 8 and don't do the same mistake like last year.
Just touch on that. That's what it's all about, isn't it? It's all about not making the same mistakes as last year.
Yeah, I mean, they don't want to go down that road again, do they? I think they're another one of my five, Adrian, that could go one way or the other.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, because they've got the players. It's whether they can play as a team. Yeah, they've got the fantastic weather out there. That always seems to play within their advantage.
Well, it wasn't fantastic weather when I went over with Widnes early last season, I'll tell you that for free, Adrian.
Okay, then. Well, Widnes go later in the season, so it's going to be nice and sunny.
Yeah, hopefully.
And you're at a stag weekend there as well.
I know,
so
yeah. It should be a good weekend, that age, isn't it?
Been great having you on board, James, for this evening's final hooter on lovably.com. Apologies to Wakefield, by the way. We've got no Wakefield audio because they were away on pre-season training.
Bad planning, that age. Yeah.
Bad planning. So we're going to leave the last words to Widnes new boy, who was at the Castellans last year. He's joined Widnes. It's Chris and Ainu, and he plays for Widnes from next season. I caught up with him as he looks ahead to this season. And Inu. Christine Inu, you're swapping Catalans for Widnes. How have you found the move?
Yeah, it's been good. It's like moving schools when you change team. You've got to meet the boys, and obviously playing a few growing up and along the season, and playing with some. It's a new feel, and obviously new things to come, especially in the new season. So,
how did the move come about?
It actually happened real quick. I was preparing for pre-season with the Dragons, and then before the pre-season really kicked off, I found out that I was heading over here, and that I literally started working on my visa and that all that process, and I found myself over here doing pre-season over here, so it was pretty quick. So other than that, yeah.
Early days in your move, I'll be found the club.
No, the boys have been well. They've made life easy for me. They've made me feel comfortable. The staff have been great, really helpful in not only the staff footy side, especially big ups to the office. They've they don't really get a mention sometimes, but I'll never forget the things they've done for me to make my move easy, and they've helped me and my family and my partner with the transition, and they've been awesome.
Brand new season ahead, are you looking forward to the challenge?
Yeah, it's been a few seasons I've been playing now, so just another one around the corner, and it's, I think probably out of all the seasons, this one's come around the quickest. Mm. I think because I've been worrying about my visa the last few weeks, and by the time I got here, this pre-season's been pretty short for myself, and like I said, the staff's been awesome and helping me transition and getting prepared for the season to come.
First game, what couldn't be any better for you? Your former club in the first round.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. When I found out I was going to witness, I looked at the fixtures and round one, Dragons. It was sort of a meant to be sort of thing, and I was just, I think it was always going to happen. Whether it was the beginning of the season, end of the season, I was always going to play. So I think for me to play against him round one, it's probably better for myself and to get the cobwebs out and pretty much show the fans what I'm here to do and pretty much who I'm preparing to line up for and do my best.
That leads me to the next question. A lot of the fans from Widnes would have saw you playing for the Catalans. What can you expect from you in the Widnes top?
I'm just going to do my best to compete. I know the fans have been great. I've said it a few times. I was blessed enough to meet a few fans when I come a few years back for World Cup, and it was a memory that I always kept. And then when the time came to sign the contract, that I was going to be a member of the Vikings, and I think it was it wasn't a sign of relief or wasn't nervous or anything. I think it was more I was grateful to be able to represent the black and white jersey and especially the fans.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.